From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 150 of Little Brother for the 15th of September 2024. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Longtime news radio station WCBS 880 AM in New York City is no longer. Last month, the 50,000-watt powerhouse and flagship station of the CBS radio network ended their news format, and under a new call sign of WHSQ is now an ESPN affiliate, making it yet another all-sports station in a market that already has several. Make of that what you will. Cox Media Group, or CMG for short, is mostly known for being a cable TV provider in the U.S. However, they are also an advertising partner with Facebook. A CMG pitch deck recently surfaced, which suggested that they are using active listening as a component of advertising selection on Facebook. That's right, they say that they actually are listening to you. For its part, Facebook has denied using your phone's microphone for this purpose and have said that they are seeking clarification from CMG. There will be more on active listening later in this podcast. Back in July, the city of Columbus, Ohio, fell victim to a ransomware attack. As is the typical mode of operation for ransomware gangs, large tranches of information were exfiltrated from the victim to be sold in the event that the ransom is unpaid. In this case, about 6.5 terabytes of data. In August, the mayor declared that the information exfiltrated was all either encrypted or corrupted, making it unusable to the ransomware gang. Security researcher David Leroy Ross then contacted local news media with evidence to the contrary, leaving the city with no choice but to act. So what did the city do? What else? They put Ross under a restraining order, essentially sweeping the issue under the rug. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned Recently. This one's a doozy. The company that leaked its customer information is somebody you do not ever want associated with the word leak, and that is Durex. Yeah, the condom maker Durex. According to the available information, the leak affected customers in India who had used the online portal to order products. The leaked information consisted of the customers' identities, phone numbers, postal addresses, and email addresses. There are a million jokes that I could drop in here, but I will spare you that and just say that hopefully their product is a bit less leak-prone. As Americans, culturally, our cars represent freedom. They provide us with the means to get to the places that we need to be on a schedule usually of our own choosing, and they provide us a small mobile space that we can use as a sanctuary from the outside world over which we can exercise control of how much gets in. For me personally, I believe that my current car is not tracking my movements. My phone probably is, but I can choose to leave that behind, power it off, put it into an RF-proof containment, or whatever, and that stops. Now, ads pop up on the podcasts that I listen to, some of them anyway, but you'll never hear one on this one. But a quick tap of a button moves ahead 30 seconds, and they are gone. I might get a phone call, but I can ignore it. Text messages go completely unobserved until I am stationary. I might talk to some of my friends on the two-way radio, or maybe I won't. This is my little pocket of space that I control, or at least that's the illusion. That's the prestige that the auto industry has sold us for decades. Now, we already know that cars are being fitted with telemetry. On many modern vehicles, there's a cellular modem, and the automaker has found it to be worth the cost to pay for service for that modem. The modem feeds back to them all kinds of information about where you are, how you're driving your car. I want to emphasize the words, your car, yours, that you bought, your property, not theirs. The very idea was never even considered until recently. Cars came with no connectivity other than an AM/FM radio, or any additional devices like a CB, a ham radio, or a cell phone that you might have installed into it yourself. In some cases, this may add value. The ability, for instance, to have help summoned if you have a crash, or the ability to use an app to look at what's going on through your car's cameras. Okay, all of that is, I guess, a value add, but it doesn't come without a big value subtract. You give up your privacy. We already know. Just go back to episodes 146, 147, or 148, because I talked about it in all of those episodes. Go back to one of those three episodes for examples. We already know that insurance companies are buying up the data from car makers. Your car is not just tracking you, it is a turncoat, actively betraying you. On top of that, the information poses certain Fourth Amendment considerations. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution grants you the privacy from searches and seizures, but because the data about you is held by a third party, the automaker in this case, it's an open book. We should not accept this state of things. So imagine my surprise when I found out that it could get even worse. Ford Motor Company has just recently filed a patent for using telemetry to decide what advertisements they can send you, presumably through the infotainment system. That's right, the illusion that the industry has so carefully created that they have sold us for decades is about to get punctured because they have just figured out yet another way to use this invasion of your privacy that is already going on to also invade your peace of mind. And I was just starting to like Ford once again. I talk about OPSEC a fair bit on this show, It stands for Operational Security or Operations Security, depending on who you ask, and generally refers to the idea of keeping your secrets secret, not giving away your location, your identity, or other information without a damn good reason. The term has a military origin. It's kind of embodied in the saying, loose lips sink ships, which, I believe, finds its origin in World War II American propaganda. Per Wikipedia, it was, quote, part of a general campaign to advise servicemen and other citizens to avoid careless talk that might undermine the war effort, end quote. Well, one of the things that those in the military have to live with is being disconnected at times. When your activities may be sensitive, whatever internet access you might have had is removed because it only takes one app on one device owned by one individual to put GPS coordinates into one packet of data, and your location becomes known to the enemy. The stakes, when I usually talk about OPSEC, are actually pretty low. In this situation I've just described, it is glaringly obvious to me, as somebody who has never been in the military, that this can be deadly to the parties involved and can also have foreign policy considerations. As such, I have to ask this question. When the senior enlisted leaders on the literal ship Manchester acquired a Starlink satellite internet rig, fastened that rig to a wooden pallet, strapped that pallet down to the deck, and used it to access the internet while all of the lower ranks were cut off for security reasons, as they should have been, what the actual fuck were they thinking? That is the essence of a much more professionally stated investigative report that reads in part, quote, the danger such systems pose to the crew, the ship, and the Navy cannot be understated, end quote. The command senior chief, Grizel Marrero, was sentenced to demotion by a court-martial. I feel, personally, like that response falls short, because clearly she has a significant lack of good judgment. But what do I know? As usual, we'll end the show with the fail of the fortnight. One of the features of many vehicles on the roads today is that they record all manners of information constantly and send it to the cloud. We were just talking about this. In the case of many vehicles, that includes video and audio of the interior, exterior, and surroundings of the car. And as I mentioned earlier in this episode, this is just absurd, but I've already beat that horse to death, so let's just, for the second, work with the understanding that this is the current norm, and that the leader in this concept seems to be Tesla. Meanwhile, police work is great for people of average intelligence, and little technical expertise is required. What technical expertise is required is usually taught either in the police academy or otherwise on the job. The problem with this combination, though, is what happens when your car is a witness to a crime. Sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? A Tesla operating in sentry mode will record video and audio whenever something happens around it. According to an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, there have been at least three cases where the Oakland police have sought to tow a Tesla in order to secure the evidence that the car might have captured. There is no reason to believe that the car was owned by anyone connected to the crime, or that it was in any way involved in the crime, just that the owner was unlucky enough to park near one. Even with a warrant, this feels wrong. It seems a more appropriate procedure would be for the police to approach Tesla and subpoena the footage. Or maybe, and just hear me out here, maybe they could just, I don't know, politely ask the owner for it? Making enemies with the public is kind of the last thing that law enforcement should be doing in this country right now, and randomly towing people for daring to park in a soon-to-be crime scene is not a good look. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the Helix Foundation for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 Group. Special thanks to Joe Cadillac, Knight Rider 007, and Snackness for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or just want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 151 will drop on September 29th. Stay safe and be well.